why didn't the baby eat? There's only one baby. They didn't even get different babies for the different timelines.
It's almost like somebody in the crew gave birth. Okay, let's just use the same baby.
So my thing is, it's apparent, like what you mentioned, like, you know, there was a point where they figured out that this movie was the last movie in the DC EU, the original Snyderverse. And then everybody from the graphic designers to the visual effects artists just like gave up, because there was a solid part, like early in the movie, everything looks good. Like, it's like one of the main complaints of the Ringerverse was you can really see unfinished work, which I was like, when I was first watching, it's like, everything looks okay. If you paid attention, like, hello and welcome to another episode of the +63HP podcast reviews edition. I'm one of your hosts, John Clemente. Alongside with me are two of my best friend. I'm going to start with the guy in the middle. Chabox, how are you doing?
Hello, ready for this movie.
And then right underneath him is our other brother from the West Coast, Arnie, how are you doing? You're on mute.
You're on mute.
Still can't hear you. We're going to vamp until we hear Arnie. We're going to vamp. We don't hear you.
I think that sums up this movie.
I think, are you underwater? That's why you can't communicate with us? Are you? We're no longer discussing Echo. There's no more ASL. We're discussing Aquaman now.
Hello. There we go.
All right. Aquaman. Hi. Aquaman. I was underwater.
Yeah, you were underwater for a little bit. Okay, as we vamped a little bit. In this episode, we are going to be discussing the cinematic masterpiece that is called Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, the second movie from James Wan, the director of the first. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. The first Aquaman had more than $1 billion in the box office. Mm-hmm. So naturally, you'd expect
a sequel.
You expect a sequel, and even if it wasn't as great, you're going to expect a certain level of, like, we're going to be entertained. But are we?
We were.
A little bit of stats before we dive into the episodes. But also, again, if you want to join us in this discussion, pause the, and you haven't seen it, right?
If you haven't seen it, it's
if
okay.
You haven't seen it, we'll talk about it later. But a little bit of stats before we do like a non-spoilery review.
I bought this
Aquaman
shit on
Aquaman
and iTunes.
The Lost Kingdom, directed by James Wan, written by David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick, right? It's based on the DC character of the same name, produced by Peter Safran, like the main dude of DC now, James Wan, Rob Cohen, stars. My man. Jason Momoa, right? Patrick Wilson of The Conjuring fame. Mm-hmm. We have Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, which is a very amazing actor.
He is.
He's Manta, right?
As yeah. Manta.
Okay.
What had happened here, we will discuss.
Yeah.
What was he? We have the, what horror movie was he in?
Candyman.
Candyman. There we go.
Yeah.
Candyman.
We have Randall Park, one of the most entertaining Asian-American actors.
Agent Wu.
Agent Wu, also from Marvel. Also, more importantly, Eddie Wong's dad in that show.
Jim. Asian Jim.
Jim Halpert from The Office fame. We have Dolph Lundgren. Surprisingly.
He's coming back.
Wait, he's still there? I didn't see him.
He was in the first one.
Yeah, it's like, surprisingly a lot of screen time. I did not realize that Martin Short was the name of the crab.
It was.
That's Martin Short. He's a really good actor.
I had to check.
But it was Gimli who voiced him, right?
No, Gimli's the... No. Martin Short is the head pirate. The one they interrogated. Gimli is the crab, but okay. the one in the pirate thing was ano?
Martin Short. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
and Gimli, very recognizable name, very amazing actor, also in this movie. Nicole Kidman is in the movie. And then we'll discuss Amber Heard a little bit. She was in this movie a little bit, but more importantly, it's 124 Boba minutes. So
Boba Fett.
Oh yeah, we forget Boba Fett. Arthur Senior is still there. Aquaman's dad. More importantly, it was released in December 19, so it has that holiday slot. December 22 actually in the United in the rest of America. Mm-hmm. It's only 124 minutes, so 2 hours tight.
Mm-hmm. There's a tight two.
Check. Right. So let's leave it like a tight two. You have everybody in the first movie, same director. Mm-hmm. The first movie made $1 billion. You have a Christmas release. Mm-hmm. You have a tight 2 hour movie. You have $215 million in budget, a little bit lower than the first one. The first one was $225, but still. And then, so first one was $1 billion. In this movie, rake in a respectable $398, which is $400, right? So
they lost money.
No, it did not lose money because it's twice as much.
Twice as much. Right? Okay.
Twice as much as the budget, but it's still not good. Like, I don't know. Like, Zoom has this thing where you do certain gestures and then they do certain things. Like, let's just jump into it. Arnie, for the people that have not seen it, and wants to discuss this movie with us, so usually give them initial reactions of the movie, non-spoilery stuff. What is your non-spoilery first reaction about Aquaman and The Lost Kingdom?
Well, first of all, it's kind of like what happened with more recent DCU releases. Once that James Gunn announced that he's going to reboot everything, I lost interest. There's no more stakes, right? But as a standalone and your expectation is really low, popcorn movie. Good.
All right. Okay. Chewbacca?
Yeah, I mean, this is like the bottom of the barrel of the last DCEU movie. And we watched it this week, so it's been out for a while and we had to wait for streaming, and we were surprised it came in this early. So the expectations were low. But, you know, I watched the kids
like the bottom of the sea low. The bottom of the sea low.
I watched with the kids. I watched it with the wife. They always bump up a few points whenever it's a family thing that we enjoy.
Yeah.
So
it is a family movie.
Yeah. It's not as bad as I thought. But, man, it's not good.
So, all right. I think you stole my exact words, Chewbacca. When I listen to other shows review Aquaman and Lost Kingdom, so one of my favorite shows is The Ringerverse, and the Midnight Boys did a instant reaction to Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. They fucking crushed this movie. The reason why I was very excited of watching this movie, because they were like, this is the most horrible shit they've ever seen. It's 2 hours that they can get back, etc. That's what I said. So the entire review, I agree with a lot of it. I agree with whatever that they'd said. But in coming into the movie, I thought that this was going to be horrible. I thought it was going to be unwatchable. And yeah, it's like, again, not gonna lie, it's bad. I wouldn't suggest people to watch it. But
I paid for it.
If you wanted to have a little fun, right? And it's on fucking streaming, just like, put it on. There are stuff though that kind of irked me to no end, which we'll discuss. But you know, primarily it's the word that I will describe this entire movie is apart from Patrick Wilson. I love him. Like, you know, Like, oh, he's amazing. A pro. He's yeah, a real. Yeah. He's a real actor. Mm. But apart from Patrick Wilson, the one word description of this movie is uninspired. Ooh. Like everybody, it felt that nobody wanted to be filming the movie. Like, like Jason Momoa. At first when I was looking at it, it's like your main Hollywood thing is you're this like buff dude. I know it's very shallow, but you did not see him with his shirt off because he was not in shape. Right? All the muscles that you see was on the
suit.
Uniform.
He didn't even bother to wear it the whole movie. He changed to that shaggy, loose fitting like tunic.
Yeah. What do you call it?
The boho style.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
I think that was what he was wearing when he came to say that. I was like, fuck it. I ain't wearing
that. The review. It's like, you know, he came on set and he's like, you know what? Fuck it. Just go straight. No makeup, no wardrobe. Just go
Patrick Wilson was a buff. Patrick Wilson showed up.
Yeah. So it's just like everybody was uninspired, except for Patrick Wilson. Except for like, Patrick Wilson. See, even Randall Park seemed that he was bored.
Astounding.
Everybody was uninspired. Even the baby who didn't grow in 5 months. They should fire that baby. He didn't have the nerve to grow up in 5 months.
Oh my god. Nicole Kidman,
I mean,
like everybody on screen.
Dolph Lundgren.
Katrina wasn't. For movies like this, she's not paying that much attention. She's on his phone. But
towards, you know, mid to end of the movie, you can really see like really poor, like the last, particularly the last arc, like the fight scenes, the CGI stuff at the last arc, pretty horrible. Which is stark because like most of this movie is CGI. Most of the characters are CGI.
Mm-hmm.
And that bodes well because the people that are in that film did not want to be acting. So it's good that they, manufactured their own, like that, their own little version of Jabba the Hutt, right? You know, was like, all right, good that you're CGI, because if you were like a real person, you're probably like rolling your eyes or something. But so, okay, that's initial reactions. It's not as bad. Again, it's not as bad. It's still like if it were free, if it's on HBO Max and you had nothing else to watch and you were cleaning the apartment or you're folding laundry, it's fine. It has some jokes. Not that funny. The only thing the last thing that I'm going to say is like Jason Momoa, very annoying in this movie. I did not like his whatever acting that you might be saying. Just like he was a little too bro-y, and then he seems like he's forcing himself to have fun. It's not like Fast X where he was also annoying but it was fun. Right. But like reading into it, did a little bit of research, like before and during this filming was around the time that he was going through his divorce with
Lisa Bonet.
That might be a big reason why he was, you know, mentally not there, but also not in shape, et cetera, et cetera. Hopefully he gets it back together. So I'll give you a little pass. But again, if you're known to be the hot dude, be the hot dude. You're getting paid millions of bucks. Come on. It's like,
yeah.
I'm just saying, like, You're not a method. You're not gonna be Tom Cruise that can get away with just like facial acting. Like if people are looking at your body, work on your body. So, all right, let's go through Chewbacca. Let's go through the synopsis and just like have fun with like this fucking.
Before that, okay. Why was Orm in prison again?
Because he fucking threw a coup. And tried to kill the surface world the first time.
Yeah.
Did he throw a coup? He was Ocean Master, right?
He was Ocean Master. Like, and then... Oh, so technically Aquaman threw a coup, right? But like, yeah, he was plotting against killing the surface world and using Atlantis, drawing Atlantis out to kill the ocean.
We'll go back to that later.
Yeah. So this basically is Black Panther.
So we'll start with the plot. So this is with the help of Wikipedia. So this is 4 years after becoming king of Atlantis. We get Arthur married Mira.
Amber Heard Mira.
Mira. And then they have a son, Arthur Jr., so creative. And then he's splitting his life with this, the land and the sea. And we get this fucking montage at the start that shows this. Holy shit, this movie is not a $1 billion movie.
It's like, I have a pee kink, but that was not funny at all.
We have this montage of his narration.
Well, Amber Heard rerouting that pee. Fitting.
Not funny. It's still not funny.
No, but the feel. Like, you can say what you want about Aquaman, but it did kind of feel like a $1 billion movie. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there were stakes in it. And then you have this intro, like, it's like what episode was that in the WandaVision where she was narrating and then we were seeing, you know, it's kind of like that feel, like a sitcom feel.
It's a sitcom, yeah.
Yeah, that's a term. And it was bad, man. And we see the scene where he's spinning his bike around the dad and the baby. Mm-hmm. And it's like, So we get that scene, and then we get this super serious scene with David Kane / Black Manta looking for, I guess, revenge. Any Atlantis wreckage so that he can fix his Manta armor. And at first I thought, like, shit, they abandoned the... what was his name? Randall Park as the doctor, because he was in the first one, right? They were setting him up as like the scientist, but he was there, so I was surprised with that. So he was helping him, and then they find the Black Trident. Of course, there's a Black Trident, and it kind of possessed him.
Antarctica.
So there's a ghost inside it, and giving him power to destroy Arthur. So, 5 months later, so we see again we have a montage here of seeing Arthur both in his life in sea, where typical government, where he's getting shit from the council so that he can get shit done, and we see his life in the lighthouse or beside the sea where he's taking care of his kids, and we get this sitcom-y stuff of being a dad and how difficult it is.
Being a dad.
Yeah, and how he can't make his son sleep. And then, we zoom 5 months later. Fucking baby.
But also, like, the montage of, like, him being super bored being a king.
Yeah, sleeping and shit.
I did like that. The small part that I like, I did like the idea. It's like, oh, being a king is not how it's cracked up to be. There's apparently this council, so I can't do anything.
Yeah, so and, King of England.
Yeah, so five months later, the baby didn't grow shit. It was so fucking lazy. It didn't even grow five months, dude. 5 months is like night and day for a baby.
For a baby, he should be like.
He could be walking. If he was 3 months at the start, 8 months, he could be sitting up, standing. So, anyways, we get Manta attacks. Well, he didn't attack. He breaks into the most secure vault that was guarded by nobody. There was nobody there. There were no security.
You know, it was too expensive to.
there was an octopus, but
there's nobody watching. There's nobody guarding it. There were no security measures. They just opened one gate, and it was straight through to the Orichalcum, and then just one octopus watching outside. It wasn't even inside.
Not even a trap. Like the train from Echo had more security.
That's true.
the train at Echo.
No, kind of like a monitoring system, like a ring camera.
They did trip something. I think they did trip something because that alerted the forces, right? So they were coming. Yeah. So this big ship that's slow as hell attacks this very, very, very secure kingdom who's never been breached. Just one ship with one kind of weapon.
For thousands of years. Yeah, attacks. Of makes sense, 100%.
And that submarine is so impractical. Like, there's so much space in that bridge.
And we've seen Aquaman in the first movie move so fast. Right? He moves so fast, but he's the fucking last guy to arrive. Where the fuck was he? So, as they're arriving...
Taking care of his kid,
he's
bro.
Out of shape. He's out of shape.
So the alarms are triggered. Eventually, they escape. So as they're escaping with the Auricalcum, they split up. The two guys with the Auricalcum go somewhere. I don't know, left or right.
And dude, it's already discussed that Auricalcum is an amazing power source, but very, very detrimental to everything else.
Yeah. So they didn't say.
I did appreciate that.
They said they were mining it, but anyways.
Mining it from where?
So they separate from Black Manta. So the Auricalcum trying to escape, and then we get, I don't know where did they came up with this.
Have we heard that in the comics at all? Is Auricalcum?
I don't know, because it sounds like a fucking, it's an ugly name.
It's Unobtainium.
That's smoother from the mouth, right? Auricalcum. So we come with the security comes, and they're just like, I don't know, 10? It's not even a full force in this kingdom. It's like 10 Atlanteans on mechanized sharks. They couldn't even get normal sharks. Why would you have a many? If you're going to get
too deep. It's too secure. Even sharks can't swim that deep. They need to
make
sharks.
Like a speeder. Make it look like a speeder. Why do you make it look like a shark? If you're going to make it look like a shark, get a shark. So let's tackle this. This is one of the... One of the things that I noticed, I didn't mention to the kids, or they didn't mention it. I think this is tied to what you said, John, that uninspired, unimaginative. We get so many shit that they literally translated the same way. They didn't go to the step of how would this be here. They took the shark and made it a speeder. They just made it into mechanized, but it looked the fucking same. It acted the fucking same. Nothing was different. We have some scenes with it's here also. They're showing the place, the Atlantis, right? There's a place where it looked like a pier with markets and restaurants. It looked the fucking same as a normal pier that we have, just underwater. You know what I mean? They're, same way, it's not stacked. You can stack shit because you can swim up and down. But no, it looked like a normal pier, one level with the same restaurants.
You're right. There's no like...
There's you no have to adapt it, right? You can world. You copy something like a market or a mall, and then you make it Atlantis style. You don't put... You just don't transform it into
Madripoor is kind of like a good explanation. It's a combination of different existing big cities. But when Marvel did a Hong Kong type, black market type world, it felt real and different, right? So
Where's Namor from? Namor,
Talokan. Exactly. They changed it to because you're underwater. Yeah. Physics worked. The fucking train where Black Manta destroyed it and made it full. It looked like a normal fucking train. It's in water. Wouldn't they make something that would float or something? If it falls, shouldn't the water slow it down?
They did use the jet stream, though. They did use the jet stream.
Which is like a rail.
It's a freeway.
But anyway, so we have Mira and the Queen come in, try to stop them. Because Aquaman was too fat to follow, so slow. So we get, because of his bad shape.
We're not body shaming, okay?
I'm fat. So.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, it's different when you're that person. Like, for example, if you are, let's say, an optometrist, right? And you have bad eyes, you need to make it seem like, you know, I have the best glasses, I have the best care, take care of my eyes, because that's my thing. That is my thing. If I'm known for my mustache and I don't groom my mustache, look, no. So I'm just saying, like, you know, we're saying that Jason Moss,
I think it's similar to like Shaq with Zion, right? It's like, it's not body shaming him, but if you're a professional athlete, you have to be in shape.
We're not saying that you have to be like, you know, it's not as if
it's not the look.
It's not the look. You're right. It's not the look. It's the idea that you are surviving thousands of no, here's the thing. Fucking Patrick Wilson was super fit. He was buffed in that movie.
Yeah. When he got showered
and half
by
of the time
water,
he was like a tiny dude.
Yeah. When he got the water, he got buffed.
Got buffed, right?
Yeah,
and like you said, Arthur is supposed to be the strongest, the fastest.
Yeah,
you know,
he didn't the ultimate, get the memo.
Yeah. So, anyways, so because he's late, Mira gets hurt, he gets out of the movie, basically.
Yep.
And thank God for that, because I would rather watch her dad, Dolph Lundgren. So anyway, so they attack, and then Black Manta escapes with the Orichalcum in the, what's the name of the ship?
I forget. The Stingray or
the Necron.
I think it's the Stingray. So they escape with the ship, and
or the Titan.
This slow ass ship. I don't know how Arthur couldn't catch up. He fucking caught up with the submarine, though. You know, a U.S. submarine, and then this ship, he has trouble catching up to. And there's this weapon that fucks them
Sonic
all
cannon.
Up. Yeah. And then, and also the Black Manta. Why did they make it fucking silver? The helmet. It looks so ugly for me. Like,
isn't it? Well, I thought it was comic accurate.
Is it? Well, it doesn't look good for me. It's like all black, and then there's
for me,
like
it's like
a silver
comic accurate. So.
Yeah.
Oh, let me.
I saw some like silver stuff.
Well,
okay. So it is comic accurate, but it doesn't look good. I'd rather the first
like
one. I think was all black, right? I remember the first one.
Yeah, the first one was all black.
Yeah. So it was just like, actually,
it looked like an ant mask. So it's kind of like an Ant-Man helmet.
And so he escapes and hiding somewhere where they can't find this mysterious island.
Somewhere in the Atlantic. Somewhere in the Pacific.
They didn't even want us to know. Like we're going to tell Aquaman where they were hiding.
The writer was like, let's think about this. Like, just put somewhere, bro.
And where did Black Manta find this loyal crew of henchmen? We didn't even get to know this girl who was so bad.
I was
going to
say, there was just
like
this girl that survived everything, but...
Or, well, she cannot say her lines like proper. I don't know. There's just, it came off bad for me. But anyways, this loyal henchman. So apparently they're doing something that's making the weather...
The global
warming.
Climate change.
So fast increase. And then... there was like snow thunder at one point or something in the news. Mm-hmm. And so the Atlantis is panicking as well. But the council doesn't want to help any to surface, because they want to destroy the surface. They don't want their help. And Aquaman's tied. So the only one he knows who knows Black Manta was the one who hired him in the first movie, which is his brother. So him and Topo... going we get the heist scene.
So again, you don't have, I know there's no more Willem Dafoe. I understand that there's no other dude.
He died off screen,
like,
right?
Well,
they didn't say how he died. They just said
did he die in the first movie?
He did.
No. They imply that he died of the plague that was causing the panic in Atlantis. That's what they said. You.
Okay. And then we get this.
I'm saying like you don't have any other loyal, badass, secret super force spy assassin. You're gonna give me an octopus, a cephalopod. Okay, sure. Let's go. The drummer. You're gonna give me the drummer.
And then, we get Dolph Lundgren narrating the Mission Impossible style heist where he explains how deep and dangerous, how difficult to get the prison out of this prison.
Somewhere in the Sahara Desert.
That's beside the sea.
That's literally by the sea.
That's its running distance from the sea.
So he goes into the. He has this stealth suit, this blue suit that's showing his muscles again, and they said he brought water, but he drank it all. Apparently.
Drank it.
So
that was funny. Okay, I was like,
there are jokes.
That looks hella dry here.
To my little brother.
So he goes in, and we find Orm like very very thin. And weak and bearded and long haired.
So my thing is like, okay, so if Atlanteans don't get water, I understand that they shrink, but they go shorter and taller too. Because he was tiny.
Rogers.
Dude, it makes sense that they go weak without water. But it doesn't make sense that they bounce back to 100% once you dump them in water. It takes time to heal.
Atlantean genes.
They didn't even show, at least I would have understood it's like a little like mirror where it's just like magic and then it's like energizing. Yeah. It's just water and then it was just buff.
But also, like Superman, right?
It's like Supergirl was skinny and until Flash exposed her
they're not technically superheroes. They're just different physiologically. They're
exactly.
So anyways.
Well, okay. Well,
he saves him against these creatures that I forgot the story why they're keeping him in prison, why they're connected to the Atlanteans. And they escape. He has this stealth thing. This is kind of cool. He goes in and out. Yeah. It felt like a game, so that was fun. And then they escape. They're still being chased by these creatures, and they're kind of centipede-like horses. Hmm. They go up to the surface. They escape to the surface. And then while Aquaman's fighting some, Orm gets thrown out nearby the sea, and then we get the scene where he comes out and he's buff, the only shirtless scene here, and it's by Patrick Wilson, he's awesome in this, I have to say.
You get
good scenes, and then as they escape, he does this Naruto run.
Very funny.
But the way they did it is extra funny because they showed it here and it clicked on my mind, but I was like, did somebody fuck up? Because they don't say anything at the scene.
Yeah.
Naruto runs to the sea. No, none of the kids didn't even notice it. I was like, did I see that correctly? Okay, we move on. And then we immediately cut to them in a speeder. Where they got it, yeah. I don't know. But how Patrick Wilson shaved and cut his hair, we don't know. Mm. And then they go to this super secret pirate place that a king doesn't know. So I don't know how there's so many unknowns to the king. And then they get captured, which is the plan because it's the only way to get in. And here is another uninspired... what's this? What do you call the place where like Han and Luke met?
Cantina.
Cantina scene. The same. The music. They just changed the singers to look like sea creatures, but the instruments, they changed it to look different, but it still looked like a drum set. You know what I mean? It They didn't go the extra step of adapting it to something. They just literally changed everything to something, but it still looked, and the structure was the same. So, like, they're in the water. They could be, you know, up the top. They could be hanging, and they could be, or they could be swimming and playing music there. But no, they're like in the middle, like typical canteen. The tables, right? They look like a cantina table. You know, like, why would you have tables? Or it's so lazy. So they interrogate they talk to this guy. Funny banter. This is the best thing about this movie is the banter between Jason, even though, as Jong said, Jason Momoa is trying too hard to be like this brotherly guy. Kind of still jives with this character, though. Just too much. And then, of course, the bad guy doesn't want to say. Then Aquaman gets his chance to fight. So they fight. And the guy, the soldier, the hammerhead soldiers, shoot something. He gets a wooden bench and it bounces back. What the fuck was that? What the fuck is a bench? That, like, laser in a mirror? Like, what is the physics here? So they fight. He tortures him and gets the information that they're somewhere in this place where if Aquaman was talking to all the fishes, wouldn't they all know, like, be able to find something, even though it's around the world? I understand that our world's big. But they find so they go alone to this island where we find out that David, the Black Manta, is burning the Orichalcum and destroying the world just for fuck's sake. Like just...
I was in it though. It's like, sure. Just, power plan. My weapons, but also pollute the world.
Okay, yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, it's very limited resource. It powers your weapons, but you're also dumping it to free this kingdom.
Fuck the world, eh? He killed my dad. Fuck the world.
Yeah, but what's the end game? You're still fucked.
I don't know. Even if it was Kordax pushing him to do that. What was Kordak's plan? Just kill everybody and then he's still alive? I don't know. They didn't really say what he wanted. He just wanted to kill and conquer or whatever.
Yeah, even Kordak's, the motivation was not like, okay, fine, you were trapped by your brother. But okay, your brother's dead now.
Yeah, so, does he want to lead? I don't know.
There's the motivations, yeah.
So he gets here. For some reason, Aquaman abandons his stealth suit? No budget, like, I guess this was the day where Jason Momoa said, I ain't getting in that suit, I'm just wearing what I'm wearing now when I got here in the set. So he wears this, how do you describe it, this hobo looking clothes, no, like, the tunic, I don't know. And then we get to this island where...
Skull Island.
It's not even that creative. It's just everything's bigger. That was basically it. Bigger plants, bigger grass. They couldn't even come up with other animals just to make grasshopper.
Yeah, grasshopper.
Bigger butterfly. Oh, bigger cockroach.
One butterfly.
And then the plants that could eat insects. Wow.
So we have some good banter here. And then we finally get the Naruto run and the explanation.
I busted out laughing because it made sense. But here's the thing, I didn't like the cockroach bit. So
yeah, what was that all about?
It's just like brother tricking a younger brother. It's like, eat a cockroach. And all right, so but I fucking love the Naruto. Like, you're right, because like he never spent time on the surface.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know that when he does this, it provides the momentum with gravity, and like you're swimming. Super smart. I literally fell off.
Once he knew how to run for the first time, he outruns Aquaman.
I want to
because he's buff.
Who thought of that? Was it Patrick?
So smart.
That was really funny. So as I said, the banter is the best thing. So they infiltrate the volcano, and we get some scenes with the scientist. Knowingly, another scientist who's fearing for his life, but fuck the world, I want to live. Yeah. But then he doesn't understand that when the world's fucked, he's fucked.
The volcano is spewing green smoke. A satellite, a normal satellite would have seen that.
They said it was being hidden somehow.
They gave explanation.
They said it. They said it was hidden from satellite. I don't know how or I don't know why. They didn't show it.
The thing is, I mean, some nation would have been, okay, for the past 5 months, it's been really hot. Let's find out why. And there's like, there's this green volcano. Okay.
So anyways, they get there. And I'm just so tired of the scientist trope where, oh, I didn't know I was doing something bad. But the world's fucked.
Wanted to see
but I don't want to die. But when the world's fucked, I am
I do like the idea, like, I just wanted to see it, man. I just wanted to show people that I was not crazy.
Yeah, but it should have turned faster for me. It took too long. So we get a pretty nice action sequence inside the volcano.
Yeah.
Without Manta taking, I don't know where he, why are the big guns always so, was he sleeping or was he watching something? Because we get a lot of fights with soldiers, a lot of fight with the octopus machine thing.
Yeah.
Giving them a hard time. And then like Manta comes in.
The Matrix, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Manta comes in and then
escapes.
Yeah, he's kind of powered up even without the suit. You kind of get a little too corny. It was a little too corny for me when Orm was like, he doesn't even have his power suit, then he gets punched, and then he's like all straight. He lands. That was a little too much for me. But we get a good fight. And then typical Black Manta escapes again on that slow ship, and I don't understand why Aquaman can't catch up to him. And then
it's the Oric Alcon. Kind of like Kryptonite.
And what's this? Did the forces arrive in time to fight the ship?
They arrived and then the smallest missiles I've ever seen tried to take down the island.
Oh yeah, but they didn't find the ship, right? They didn't have an encounter with the ship yet, right?
They never intercepted the slow ship.
The slowest ship. Okay, so yeah, so
they just decided to blow up the island.
Oricalcum.
Yeah.
So,
but here's the thing: you blow up the island, you blow up the Oricalcum. So they also
it will release it,
right?
Well, maybe they didn't burn it. Maybe just collapse on it, and it wasn't burned in the furnace. But then, if the furnace exploded, anyway, that kind of
okay.
We find this group of rebels now. And everybody's sort of fine with Orm. And what's the name of the crab thing? Gimli's voice? Name?
Gimli.
So we have
The thing that I don't like about this movie is like they keep on shoehorning these jokes that they want to do like a callback to. Like hand. It took me a year to grow a hand in the first movie. Now I lost my hand again. Not funny, bro.
So they regroup, and Jason Momoa is probably sad that he's forced to wear his golden armor Apple again.
Yeah.
Oh no, not yet. Sorry. So they regroup, and then they don't know what to do. And Black Manta attacks. Aquaman's dad. They find out that black magic is
Boba
just
Fett.
Just blood DNA. So another here's another
black
issue
magic
of mine.
Trope, yeah.
Where Aquaman, your king and your prince, the heir to the throne, is living
unguarded.
In a house by the beach unguarded.
I mean, granted, it's Boba Fett guarding it, but come on.
My kids did have a point that even if they're guarded, they would have lost to Black Manta. But still,
delayed.
Goons and a robber could have killed the heir of the throne. So he steals the kid, and then they try to track him all the way to the North Antarctica or something.
Antarctica, yeah.
So we get the flashback story from Orm because he was able to hold the black trident for a second. That the story is. The previous king, their great 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 grandfather, had a brother, and here we go again. It's eerily familiar. Equal sign of the two brothers who fought because the other one thought that the other one was after his throne, which we had a dialogue with Orm and Arthur also, where Orm was surprised that Arthur didn't even want the throne. He was just there. And then the brother Kordax used the Orichalcum to make a superpower, and the king was forced to seal him. Why he didn't destroy him, I don't know. Maybe because he's his brother, but that they didn't make a scene that said I didn't, you know, they didn't see me scene like,
yeah,
I'm sad to kill you, so I'll just
tried to do place. Like the whole negative zone with General Zod, like, wait, why not just kill General Zod? Well, just put him in the
yeah. And
zone.
If it was so... blood magic, why was the other soldiers free?
Yeah,
right. Why was the only king was the only one frozen? Is it because of the global warming? Then the king would have just been freed by himself. Why was it blood magic? But anyway, we needed a big fight, and Manta's goons were not up to the task. So they Aquaman, I don't know the physics in this. So to counter the stingrays, the sound cannon, they had
whales?
To get all these these oh, whales, and who somehow
it has
can
to be loud.
But
it has to be
so that was a funny joke though when we say like, oh, so you are going to disrupt the loud sound by an even louder sound. Like,
yeah.
Gonna disrupt
okay.
the disruptor.
Makes sense.
The disruptor.
But this whales.
So
they
anyways,
couldn't even. Okay.
That was it. The whales took out the whole stingray.
And the thing is, okay. I would accept the whales if they made the sound loud. But it didn't. Like, what's that for? What for dogs
just because,
to hear?
Because of that, they destroy the ship, and then they infiltrate. Black Manta goes ahead with Shin, the doctor, with the baby. Mm-hmm. Why he was there, I don't know. Why he was the one bringing the baby, I don't know. Was Manta just lazy?
Even though
he was already mistrusting Shin, he still gave him the baby to carry. And then
so he did the clone replacement jutsu.
Yeah, and then we get the scene where the king gives another fucking scene where they're loading up. So Dolph Lundgren is giving guns to the soldiers one by one. It's a fucking run. Just go fucking get it. Why does he have to hand it one by one? And then they stopped, and there's like so many more guns. Like, nobody, they couldn't get more extras. And then he gives a hammer thing to Orm, an axe. So we get this big fight scene now with the monsters who are somehow unfrozen and fighting. And then we get this so unearned scene where Gimli goes, oh, go ahead, we'll handle it from here. In like a sacrifice play where you know they won't die. Then we go they go up to the bridge, and another of those sea creatures, I don't even think we really saw did we see that creature complete, the one with the tentacle thing. I don't know
it looks like the one in Force Awakens.
Oh, okay. In the ship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The one grabs the Mira's dad, and then Orm does this so long look like, am I gonna help you?
Like, help you? Okay.
Am I gonna help you?
And then one of those like, oh, you know what's gonna happen. Oh, you're gonna pretend that you're not gonna help, but you are going to help. But whatever.
He's gonna look so serious. Am I gonna help you? And then he gives this fucking grin, like, maybe not. It takes a second, and then he comes out, and then it's also sweaty because you gave him a fucking axe, so he had to go around, right? Like, he couldn't help from that far. That's too far. So he helps him, he brings him up, and then
he gets this gun from another soldier. Here, I have another gun, and the soldier's like,
where's my
gun? That's my gun, bro.
And then And then there, I also thought, like, Arthur has this super powerful trident. It didn't do shit. Did it do anything special?
So that's the one thing that I kind of like.
It was just a trident.
Okay, it was such a big thing in the last movie. How strong it was, like, no, it barely used it.
The trident of the king, the true king, and it didn't do shit. Doesn't even
it did destroy the black trident eventually.
Yeah, that was with a good shot.
Yeah, but
so anyways, you get there as the people are rushing forward, as Aquaman's team is rushing forward. While fighting the creatures, Black Manta is about to unleash Kordax, but Shin does a nice way of trying to delay him, give him a bomb instead of the baby in the bag.
the clone jutsu, replaced with clone jutsu.
Yeah, agree exactly. But he still gets hurt, and then
he leaves the baby.
Outside.
Without a jacket, because that's supposed to be ice, right? The kid should have died.
Well, I mean, I think it's part water, right? Water,
but still, it's frozen ice. The kid's half human or a quarter human.
So, and before he gets the baby again, we get Aquaman arrives, and so they fight. This is the big fight. But what happened here? This is a pretty nice action sequence with the camera spinning. Pretty good choreography. They're fighting, and then he beats Manta. Correct? Yeah, he beats Manta. Yeah.
He beats Manta, and then but Kordax was already freed, I think.
He hits Aquaman, and the blood plays on the altar, so it frees Manta. And then how does Orm get? Mira gets the baby and runs. And then was Black Manta that throws the Black Trident, right?
Yeah, and then Orm caught it.
In an ugly scene where he throws the scene and Mira looks back and sees Trident and it goes slow mo on her face.
Effects again. We see how. You know, there was a little bit of a rush there. A lot of rush.
She didn't need to turn around. Like, just keep her going like this. And then she didn't need to know that. Watch it again. And then Orm saves her. But holds a trident too long and gets possessed. And it leaves Black Manta. And he gets dispatched in the funny way. She thought he still had power, but he gets fucked. He just gets a quick, funny punch and goes down.
Yeah.
And we get Orm being possessed by Kordax. And we get the. And Arthur gets it, holds it with Orm. And here we go, the typical brother versus brother, where Aquaman
and then Kordax is trying to
convince Orm.
Tempt both.
Both. And coming around. And like, if I'm like Orm, he just said shit to me. Why are you talking to him?
Yeah, you know, he just said something to me.
How can I trust you, motherfucker?
Make up your mind.
Yeah, so he sides with his brother, who was obviously not fucking him over.
Yeah.
And he gives it to Aquaman, who throws a trident, and it's caught by Kordax.
Which did nothing.
No, he got it. And he holds it for so long that Orm has the time to pull out the trident, give it to Aquaman, spin it, and then throw it. And he's still holding the old trident. Why was he holding his own trident? He could have blocked it, right? He had the weapon, he had the trident.
Yeah. Or he could have dodged. You know?
Just like that.
But see, Kordax, he didn't even have the Sauron moment that, oh, I'm just powerful. Evil guy. Nobody died when he came out.
He was holding it for so long that after the whole action of Orm getting the trident, giving it to Aquaman, giving it a spin, then throwing it, it was straight like that. And he did the arrow through the arrow thing, but this one is a trident through a trident. And then it kills Kordax. four ducks. And then we get the scene where, of course, everything breaks. Everything's, we have to get out of this place. Destruction. We have Black Manta falling. And in the scene that...
See, that's the thing too. That's another one. Like, Arthur tried to save him. He's like, never. Okay.
We have a scene that's parallel to the first one where Aquaman didn't show mercy, but this time he is. And Black Manta didn't. I don't know what's worse for me, if he didn't, or that he if he would have, or if he didn't, or that the scene that he didn't.
So he falls to his death. It's your typical, it's your typical trope, right? Like, I'm not gonna be helped by you. Like, okay.
I do. I mean, it's also one of those things where, this is the last movie, so we're not gonna give any. Yeah, we don't need to open, which worked better because like, we're not going to leave anything open.
Let's tie up loose ends.
Just kill everybody, it's fine. It's like, all right, cool. Appreciate
it. We're almost done. Okay, so they escape. And for, it's just throwing fucking tropes to the wall. Instead, I would have loved it more if after this scene, we get them in a perfectly shaped iceberg. Where they're all up there, they can have this nice platform to talk. We get the crab coming out with the joke that Jong says about the cut hand,
the lost claw.
And we have the baby Mira. No queen, right? The queen wasn't there.
Nicole was not there.
Wasn't there. Who was
that? Oh no, she was there. She was there.
Was she there?
Yeah, she was there.
Okay, and then I was like, show the baby to. The uncle, it's his niece.
Yeah, I was kind of like, oh yeah, there's Uncle
I wanted a nice scene of Orm like coming into the baby. It's like, but for Orm, I'm like, that's so scary. Baby's not aging. I don't want to touch it. So we get another trope because I would have loved it if like Orm came in and it's like
I was expecting. Could have been
like the Hand of the King, you know, or something.
I
like
was
that.
Expecting Arthur to be like, you know what, you be the king, I'll be like the.
No, I disagree. I actually, this was like the perfect thing. Just like lay low for a while, and then we'll figure it out in the future.
That one's fine. But I was kind of like, well, you're pardoned because you're king. Come on.
Oh, that's well. I think maybe in longer, you know. So yeah. I do like the idea because I hate it when it's like you. We're responsible for thousands of Atlanteans' death during that.
Yeah, but he was also backed by the council. Even the council wants to fuck up the surface world.
Oh, you know, that's true. So fuck the council. Let's kill the council instead.
Yeah, and then also another issue with me is like Arthur. Was he? I don't know. Who he was talking to? Oh, it was Orm. Like he was saying that, or to the council. Like work together with the service world. Half of Atlantis is ready, right? Half.
Yeah.
I would have at least nice to see like the good half of, you know, like.
Yeah.
Anyways. So Orm is dead. They couldn't find the body, so he's free. And then Arthur reveals himself in the surface world. And in the so much a cheesy way. I mean, Black Panther did it better. When they revealed Wakanda, this one was just put everybody by the sea, the UN by the sea, the Navy, and then you're gonna pop up. Then he's gonna have a nice speech,
which he couldn't even deliver properly. He became
that was like, this is the last day we're shooting.
I don't care.
See, this one too is like all from the last third to the end. FX was so bad. Like even the background here. Yeah,
it did not look good.
So bad.
It was like, what was his last night? I'm the king of Atlantis. The thing is, like Arthur and Aquaman, and he gets it, and then he mic drops.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, okay, of course we will send an ambassador to Atlantis. So that would have been a perfect role for Shin, but of course he didn't get it because they still didn't see Atlantis. And seriously, knowing what the world is right now, if Atlantis come up, we're gonna bomb it. Seriously.
And then we get the last scene, the DCEU, of Orm eating a burger and a cockroach.
That's the last scene of the DCEU.
And they have like that's the thing too. It's like it's not even realistic cockroaches. It's too big.
Yeah. On a restaurant.
By the sea.
By the sea.
And there you have it. Aquaman. And I'm such a big fan of James Wan too. But if you see,
that's the thing. If you see the wiki,
the biggest difference from this one in the first one is the story. Story by James Wan. He was in the first one. I think David Leslie Johnson was in the first one. We have Jason Momoa. I think that's what fucked it up.
Yeah, probably because like he just like come in and it's like, I haven't read the script, so I'm just gonna like wing it, kids. And then like, all right, okay.
So there we have it, folks.
Well, that's it.
Let's go through our ratings and final thoughts, aren't we? Rocket.
I mean, like I said, low bar, was not disappointed, but also surprised. Nah, it's okay. It's a popcorn movie.
So
I'll give it I'll give it a seven. Maybe six.
Okay. I'm giving it a five. Okay. It's not bad. Right? It's not bad. Like it's watchable.
It's watchable.
But given the choice, I wouldn't watch it. Given a choice, I wouldn't want it watch it. So yeah, so it's I'm giving it a five. And why are we watching Kingpin?
Sorry. Have you been watching? That's how bad it is. Yeah, have you been watching Kingpin the whole time? I didn't know that.
All right, Chibax, what is your rating and final thoughts?
I'll give it a five, and that's a five because of I was watching with the kids and my wife, and I paid for it. So
they are the entertainment.
Some jokes land better because they're there, and I have somebody to laugh with. But if I was just being with the kids, you know, some jokes that if I was alone wouldn't sell, would sell me with the kids because we're having a fun time.
Yeah. How much did we rate The Flash? Let
me check.
The last one. Because if I'm gonna be honest, really honest, I enjoyed Aquaman versus the Flash. Yeah.
Actually, I agree.
Is it because of the main actors? Probably.
Yeah, the Flash, we graded it a 4.34. So yeah.
4.3. Oh wow. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So
that
so,
bad.
To be honest though, this was a little better than The Flash.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. We enjoyed it more, and we graded it better than
And even the effects, like the Chrono Ball versus the whatever it is that the Aquaman did, I prefer the effects at Aquaman.
I prefer arms running than the Flash.
Yeah, exactly. I prefer the Naruto run over the Flash. But I mean,
I can even at the full point. I can't even bump it to six just because reviewing it was so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, right? We finished the movie.
Yeah, we had fun.
Pirates.
I also think the reason why we graded this a lot better than The Flash because we do like Momoa way better.
Oh, yeah. Jason, I mean, the person. You know, he rocks the dad bod, and you know he's a generally cool,
I'm still a
cool character.
I understand cool the circumstances of this movie. Is like, as we said, it's the bottom of the barrel, the end of the DCU, and not a lot of people.
It's the bottom of the sea.
We're ready, or we're inspired, or you know, it's like,
I think they, it was just because it was greenlit, and they were under contract to do it.
And the first one did a billion, so I was like, I think they were forced to like,
yeah,
let's see what we can do with this thing.
Yeah, I think if James Gunn said like, oh yeah, we're keeping Aquaman, we're keeping so and so, at least there's some stakes that okay, this is still gonna be in the reboot.
Again, the funny thing is like, we have zero even like attempt to bring back Aquaman, like, because at least there's in the giant James Gunn DC universe, there is stories about Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. We have Batman, we have Superman, Aquaman, zip.
And Jason Momoa is gonna be Lobo, I think.
Most likely,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In the different universe.
Okay, well, we'll see.
All right. Well, that is it. For this cinematic masterpiece. Next week we have Percy Jackson on Disney Plus as our next week's assignment.
Percy Jackson and the Olympians.
I'm quite excited about this because I didn't even watch the original one, so I have no idea what.
I watched the original ones. I've read the books.
I watched the two original ones with Alexander Daddario.
I'm a big Alexander Daddario fan, but I have not seen this. I don't know what this is about. We will figure it all out. Okay. And I've heard a little bit, like there's a couple of the networks that I listen to, podcasts that I listen to, and then they are doing week on week reviews there because they are enjoying the show. So I'm excited to just like today. It's Saturday when we're recording this. I'm going to sit back, watch a couple of episodes, maybe order some pizza, and then watch it. So I'm very, very excited. So with that, on behalf of Trimax and Arnie, we will see you next week. And thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.